You got the morning show with Aaron, and on the line I've got Lani Puriri. Good morning, Lani.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day out here in Raglan. Absolutely fantastic again, which is really nice.
Yes, the clear skies.
Yes.
The clear autumn skies are always lovely.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a chill in the air in the morning. Got cold toes on my way out on the bike, but that's all right.
Yeah.
We're good now. The town hall is still warm. Like that. It's such a solid concrete building that it stays warm quite early.
Good.
Yeah. The flip side of that is that at the end of winter it stays cold as well. So.
Oh, okay.
But right now I'm all good.
That's
yeah.
Nice.
Folks, Lani is what they call a sophrologist. You do sophrology, and as always, I always say to you, come on, explain sophrology for the people who haven't heard that word before, because I just got off the interview with Peggy, and she says, what's sophrology? So people always want to know. Yeah. And I thought I explained
yes,
it.
Yes, that's...
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, no, that's quite normal, especially for us English-speaking people. Sophrology was actually developed in continental Europe, mainly in France and Switzerland, in French. And so it's very prominent in France and Switzerland. In fact, the insurance or the health organizations in those countries actually cover it as a medical strategy.
Right.
So it is basically holistic strategies. We study the mind, body, spirit, breath, and consciousness to identify human experience and behavior. And so we use the techniques of sophrology to help people identify their holistic structure to develop biological values, physiological values. We're not generally in tune with our bodies.
Yeah.
We're not aware of what we're doing to our bodies as we go through daily living. And so that's the whole aim for sophrology, is to help you ground in the body and become aware, consciously aware of your body and harmonizing your holistic being, mind, body, spirit, breath, and consciousness. So
as someone, like you've got your own story about discovering it and learning from it and changing the way you kind of live your life, I guess. Are you, like, mm-hmm. right now much more conscious of the state of your body than you would have been 15 years ago or something?
Yeah, completely. I mean, almost sometimes I'm so in tune now
yeah.
that I can hear and feel, you know, everything my body is saying. And when my body is feeling even slight discomfort, I immediately acknowledge it. I can sense it. Because I've practiced sophrology for so long now that I've built the neuroplasticity in my brain.
Right.
Or the new neural pathways. And, now I recognize very easily, when my body is feeling stressed or tensed or, any pain or discomfort, and I'm able to quickly address it and balance it's called the autonomic nervous system. So balancing the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system is really important to our vitality and health and well-being.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
And today sorry, go ahead.
Oh, what? No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, go into today, I know you want to talk about meditation.
Yeah. Which is the main tool for sophrology. In fact, that's the the thing that we pay the most attention to is that thing that our brain is going to identify as the most important aspect for daily living. So whatever that is, whatever we're spending our most time in, we're actually building and grooming the neural pathways in the brain. So I think I've said this before, and this is my best description. When you're trying to, you know, if you're standing at a right in, you know, a bunch in front of a bunch of trees and you want to walk through them, you need to create a trail. And so you just start creating the trail, whatever that requires, moving trees out of the way or using tools, rakes or whatever to manicure a path so that you can walk through. This is what we're doing with meditation, continuous practice of meditation, or a continuous practice of anything. If you want to learn how to play an instrument or a sport or whatever, the continuous practice of something will ultimately create a neural pathway in the brain. You're sending a message to the brain that that's what's most important for you, and the brain will acknowledge and create the neural pathway.
Yeah.
So for sophrology, we use meditation as an opportunity to create neural pathways in the brain. So we're using balanced breathing techniques, gentle movement strategies, and creative visioning. So when we're meditating in sophrology, we're not just sitting there in the lotus position, which we don't generally do in our life.
Yeah.
There's a time and place to sit in lotus position, and most of our life is spent in walking and sitting and movement, standing. We're continually engaging with other people. So what we want to do in meditation and with sophrology is to learn how to be calm and at peace in daily living. So we'll meditate while standing, we'll meditate while sitting or lying down or even walking. And we're just getting in tune with the body and identifying, grounding ourselves in the body, and using different strategies and techniques to do that. And pretty much most all of it is done in a 15 to 20 minute meditative strategy, so that you can have complete focus and allow the brain to rest so that it can pick up on the things that you're trying to accomplish during a meditation.
So when you mention meditation to people, the first thing they say is, oh, I tried that, my mind just kept going off in different directions, mm-hmm. and they feel like it was just not really working properly the way it should.
Yeah, which is totally normal. And so when the mind does wander, so prior to doing a meditation, you can set intention. This is what I'm trying to accomplish in my meditation today. And so if your mind tends to wander, you can come back to that intention. Okay, why am I doing this again? And bring your mind back to that purpose.
So is that what you do? You kind of just talk to yourself like that before and during if necessary?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So with my narrations, everything's done in first person. So I use I and my. Most of the time occasionally I'll do a guided one where I'm saying you and your, but for the most part, I'm speaking as if it's you speaking to yourself.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the meditation, I talk about what the intention of the exercise is and why, and what the purpose is and what you're hoping to accomplish. And then, if your mind starts to wander, you can come back instead of being like, oh, I'm so bad at meditation, I can't do this. You can say, wait, no, why am I doing this again? And come back into that. It's coming back, grounding again, coming back to the physical sensation you're feeling in your body, coming back to identifying the motion of your body and your breath. Because we're human and we're going to have thoughts and they're going to, continually move about. And so it's always coming back to what's the physical sensation I'm feeling in the body. That always brings you into the present state because your body exists in the present. It can't exist in the past or the future. It only does if you, by your thoughts. So for you to be able to ground presently, you want to identify the physical sensation that you're feeling and identify your breathing patterns. And that brings you back. So, sure, everyone can say, oh, I've tried that, it doesn't work. I don't believe you. I don't believe you've tried hard enough.
Okay.
To be honest. Everyone can do it. You can control your brain. You absolutely can control your brain.
I think people feel a bit disillusioned when it mm-hmm. doesn't happen maybe soon enough in the process. Mm-hmm. Feel like, yeah.
Well, because we look at the world that we live in, everything is spontaneous and at the click of a finger. I mean, if we click on something on our phones or on the internet, on the computer, and it's not there in 5 seconds or, 30, a point millimeter seconds.
Yes. Yep.
Like we want it there instantly. I mean, if you really thought about it for a minute, like when you are watching Netflix and you choose a movie that you want to watch, I don't know what the trail is that you have to go through from the point of click to actually act. I don't know what that is, but if you actually followed the tributaries, you might realize it's a lot for us to expect it to happen in a matter of milliseconds. And so that because of the world that we exist in, we think everything should happen instantaneously, which is why we're so prone to using an external substance or reaching for something external.
Yeah.
Because that's so much quicker and so much easier than actually putting in the work yourself. So meditation is work, and it's hard work because you actually have to control your brain. It does take time, and you have to be committed and dedicated to doing it. So it's something that if you don't, you know, you've got to choose to have the patience to do it and be willing to actually recognize that this is a valuable strategy for your health and well-being.
And I guess there's times that it's a good time to do it and times that are not so good. Like if you've just been it's been an hour on TikTok, trying to meditate straight after that was probably like the worst time, the worst thing you could do.
You should probably never spend an hour on TikTok.
but if you do, don't try meditating straight afterwards. There's a better way. There's better times. Like do you try and get your setting right and figure out times that are good to do meditation?
Well, you should. When you first are learning how to meditate, it is important to create a routine for yourself. You've got to create that. There's basically an association. So if it's your morning routine, you know, you get up, you go to the bathroom, you get a drink of water, and that drink of water is your association to, okay, now I'm going to meditate.
Okay.
Or, you know, you use some sort of an association strategy. If morning is the best time, you experiment with it when you're first starting meditation. You experiment and determine what time of the day is the best time for you. For everyone, it's going to be different. Also, the intention of the meditation, too, will have an effect on what time of the day is the best time. If you're needing to take a break from your work, in the middle of a busy day and you just need to rest and relax the brain, then in the middle of the workday is beneficial. It actually will create an opportunity for you to be energized. It restores energy for the rest of the day because you've now refreshed your brain.
Yeah, see, my experience.
Then if you're trying to sleep, then you would want to do a sleep meditation in the evening.
Yeah. I did try when I the very first time I tried meditation, I tried doing it at lunchtime, and that completely didn't work for me because my system was all wired for making things happen, you know, that kind of state. And
yes,
and the idea and it trying to stop and do something different, well, that certainly wasn't working for me. But as you say, everybody's different, and you've got to experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do need to experiment. And your other thing is just your why. Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
If your purpose is not strong enough for you, if that's not a strong enough motivation and doesn't create that dopamine rush for you, then of course you're going to use that familiar phrase of try meditation. It doesn't work. Stop saying that. You're telling your brain something that's not true. Switch your words, make an alternative statement.
Yeah. So I've asked a few questions, but I've probably interrupted what you were planning to talk about. So if you can get yourself back there, what were the other things you wanted to bring on this topic?
Oh, this is totally the topic that we're on.
Okay.
So with meditation and sophrology, we don't use any background sounds. So this is all an opportunity for you to be able to rest your senses, basically, is what you're trying to do. We experience life through our five senses, touch, taste, sight, sound, and smell. Like that's life for us. And so what we want to do in meditation is take a break from sensing and or relax into the sensation and what the body's feeling and give the brain a rest. So while our eyes are open, like if you just, you know, you and I are not looking at each other right now because we're on Zoom. So, yes. But your eyes are open and you're looking at things. Your brain is registering things all around you. We have headsets in, but if we didn't, we would be hearing the sounds all around us. Your brain is tuning into that. And then you're tuning into, you know, the work that you're trying to do and all of these. I mean, just if you just imagine, and then the touch, everything you're touching in the moment, you know, your clothing, the touch of the skin to your desk or your keyboard or whatever, you know, your brain is constantly stimulated. Your body is constantly stimulated. So meditation is an opportunity to release the meditation or release the stimulation and just let the brain have a break. It's such a simple technique that people are like confused by, like, it's got to be, it's too simple, right? We don't want to, we just think this is not, it's not a thing because it's just too easy. But,
yeah.
As it turns out, so if you've heard of Dr. Andrew Huberman,
yeah,
he's a Stanford University, is where his, where he has done his tenure. But he has a very famous podcast, and he talks about what's called NSDR, which is non-sleep deep relaxation. So Dr. Andrew Huberman explains that you can have health and vitality by getting productive sleep and through your breath, and those are the main two things that he points to constantly. With non-sleep deep relaxation, it's, you can take about 10 minutes out of your day to give your brain a rest. You're giving attention to the body. You can be sitting or lying down. You're basically in a state of unmoving, and your awareness is on the rise and fall of breath and the sensation in the body. And so this allows your parasympathetic nervous system to kick in and do what it needs to do. So just as an explanation, we've talked about the autonomic nervous system before, but maybe I'll just mention it again.
A brief cover over statement would be good.
Yeah. So your autonomic nervous system has two, it has a dual purpose. That there's the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. So your sympathetic nervous system is your fight, flight, or freeze response. So in sympathetic mode, your cortisol is rushing through your body, sending cortisol or signals of cortisol and producing that hormone. And you're in continuous whatever you're needing to do in the moment. So if that's rushing through life because you've got 15 tasks to do and you don't have enough time to do them all, then you're in sympathetic mode. When you're in sympathetic mode, your heart is racing, your blood pressure is up. And then along with that, all you're feeling stress in your gut, all of these things are going on, which ultimately causes illness in the body. Your parasympathetic nervous system is your rest and relax, strategy. So this, when we are in continuous sympathetic mode, the parasympathetic can never do its job. And so that's what causes unwellness and you to become unwell. Your immune system breaks down. So in a non-sleep deep state of relaxation, your parasympathetic nervous system is triggered and can actually give you a little bit of repair and rest for 10 minutes so that you can have energy for the rest of your day. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So most people take a break. So when you take a break from work or from your daily tasks, what do you do when you take a break?
Oh, I'm not a good person to talk to about this.
Okay.
I'm bad at taking breaks. I keep like a lot of my work, aside from now when I'm on the air, a lot of my work is admin work, so processing stuff, and then I have this bad habit of going to take a break and I go and read something on the internet, so my brain's really just continuing to do the same thing. It's just a topic I've chosen to focus on. It's the only difference. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So we take, and I'm the same. I am someone who is hyper productive. I have to constantly be productive every second of my waking hours.
Yeah.
And so even when I say, okay, I've got to take a break from this and go do something else, I'll literally go do something else ultimately we never give the brain a break. So, you know, some people will be like, oh, I'm going to take a break right now. And they'll pick up their phone and scroll social media, or, even going outside in nature, you're still stimulated outside in nature. Going outside in nature is a great thing. Don't get me wrong, but you're still stimulated. You're stimulated by what you're seeing and what you're hearing and the different sounds that are going on around you, which are all helpful. Nature is definitely more helpful than picking up and scrolling social media.
Yep.
but ultimately the best thing for your body is to close your eyes and focus on do a body scan, a simple body scan. And so you're focused on your breath, you're focusing on your body. And when you do that, you're training the body, or you're training the brain to focus on your body, identifying what's going on with your body. So the benefits of NSDR are mainly, it's the benefits that happen with the brain. So memory retention, easing stress, your ability to think more clearly and just have cognitive functions so that you can think strategically. It actually does benefit your sleep quality, so you're better able to sleep at night, and having resilience and the ability to patiently respond to situations instead of react in a frantic sort of way. It basically creates an easier access for just accessing the parasympathetic nervous system. You're training your body to identify when you're in continuous sympathetic mode.
So there's one thing I do, we're sort of running out of time, but one question I do want to ask, you talk about it's a meditation that's a non-stimulation kind of meditation. There's lots of guided meditations and meditations with music. And I know that some people say, I've had people say, you know, we're so used to stimulation that it's really hard for us to just cut that and go to non-stimulation, and that's why a lot of us need guided meditation with music and things like that. I mean, do you have thoughts around that?
So I think a guided meditation is always important. I use guided meditation. My meditations now, I have the words, they're committed to memory now.
Yeah.
As far as the body scan, so sophrology meditation always starts out the same way. The first 5 minutes of a sophrology meditation is a body scan, attention release, and recognizing the cellular structure of the body. And then we go into creative visioning. But having some background, a guided meditation is really important. I suggest no background noise with those meditation. Maybe some nature, like some birds every now and again, or something like that. Some water.
Yeah, yeah.
But ultimately, what you want to do is have your own personal experience with the meditation. So, if the person who's narrating is choosing some music and it's a distraction for you,
yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I've listened to some meditation with music in the background, and I hate that. I can't do this. That song is awful, and I can't meditate to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, if you don't like the music, it's really going to be a drawback. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also your brain is actually having to focus on the sounds, so your auditory ability to sense sound that you would normally sense on your own is inhibited because the sound is being provided for you.
Yeah.
So if I'm saying, if I pause my narrations, if I'm saying take an inhale and exhale, and then I pause for a minute, or if I say take a moment to identify all the physical sensation that's happening in the body, and there's music going on in the background, your limbic system is responding to that music and sending emotion through the body.
Yeah.
So you're actually now responding to the music you're listening to rather than to the physical stimulation in the body.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can we wrap this up? Sorry to keep jumping in. Can we wrap it up with somewhere to send people to, because you've got some narrated, I know you've got narrated meditations on your website. And you mentioned Andrew Huberman as well. Places for people to go.
My website is Sophro Soulless. So it's Sophro. Sophrology is spelled Sophrology. So it's Sophro, Sophro, Sophro Soulless .com. And then my social media is at Sophro Soulless. And just flick me an email, sophrosoulless@gmail.com, if you have any questions. I can create some meditations for you. I can help you access the meditations that I have, or we can just generally meet and I can facilitate some strategies for you that will help you with some meditation.
Yeah, because this is what you do as a sophrology consultant. Consultant, is that the right word?
Yeah, basically, well, I'm a facilitator. So my main work that I do is facilitating groups. It's much better to work with groups because we can support one another with the things that are going on in our lives. Mm. So I facilitate group meditations, accountability groups, just helping people to establish meditation in their lives. And then I also meet with people one-to-one if they really don't want to meet with a group. But, groups are more helpful because we recognize other people are going through the similar things that we're going through. And meditating with each other is also beneficial because we just feed on the energy of other people. We're social. We're a social species. We need each other.
I don't think I've ever tried. That's like I've actually been trying meditation for quite a while. I've never tried it with a group. Maybe I should.
I actually quite enjoy it, meditating with a group of people. It just feels more engaging when you're doing it with others. And then afterwards you can discuss your, the experience that you had. And what's interesting is everyone does the same meditation, but everyone has a different experience because it's all based on your personal sensory stimulation.
Hey, Lani, look, thanks heaps for your time this morning and coming in, well, not coming in, zooming in on a Thursday morning.
Yep.
Appreciate it. And
sure.
We'll talk to you.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here with it, Aaron. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah. And we'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Okay. See you then.
Okay, folks, Lani there with Sophrology. And I realized when she was spelling the website, Sophro, Sophro, and then Solace is Solace. Not Soulless. Soulless. I was worried people might be thinking that. Anyway, end of the show for the day. As I said earlier today, if you're listening to this on Friday morning, actually, I'm going to be talking to Councillor Lisa Thompson in about 10 minutes. We are talking to her at 8:10 on Friday. And also on Friday, talking to the Climathon event happening. Find out more about that then. Got to go. I'll see you tomorrow.